Zondervan presents, Your Church is Too Safe, Why Following Christ Turns the World Upside Down, by Mark Buchanan, read by Maurice England. Introduction. What are you arguing about? I'm bored, as are many people in church, bored and also apathetic, passive, testy, lonely, disheartened. We're wary and weary and cranky and sad. It's a long list. There's an enormous gap between the life Jesus offered and the life we're living. We feel it. We see it. We sense that whatever else Jesus came preaching, this can't be what he had in mind. A room full of people nodding to old platitudes, nodding off to old lullabies, perking up to Jonah-like rants, jumping up to split hairs or break company at the smallest provocation. He can't have dreamed a church gorging itself on feeling good and allergic to self-denial. He can't have hoped for a church that was more concerned with itself than with the world it inhabits. When Jesus announced that the kingdom was at hand, this can't be what he meant. What happened? When did we start making it our priority to be safe instead of dangerous, nice instead of holy, cautious instead of bold, self-absorbed instead of counting everything loss in order to be found in Christ? I've been a pastor, a Baptist one if you must know, more than 22 years and a traveling speaker for 12 of those years. And so I've had some front row and hands-on exposure to much of this. I've kept at it for more than 22 years because it hasn't all been the way I'm describing it. There have been many beautiful moments, conversions so unforeseen and inside out, they almost made God's outstretched arm tangible. Restorations of lives so sweet and lasting, they almost made the Holy Spirit's holy dance visible. Worship services so thick with God's presence that, like the saints of old, I've almost begged God to stop, lest I die for joy. Spiritual friendships so enriching and joyous, I've tasted heaven. I've been up the mountain and seen the kingdom come in power. But most of my 22 years I've spent on the downside of the mountain. The story I'm thinking about here is in Mark chapter 9. It is the story of Christ's transfiguration, and then the story that comes right after that. It begins with Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John to witness the kingdom come with power before they taste death. They go to a mountaintop with him, and there behold a spectacle of staggering beauty and terror. Peter, as an old man, remembers it vividly. He was an eyewitness, he says, to the majestic glory. What he saw, what they saw, was virtually a reenactment of Moses on Sinai, except this time Moses and Elijah are only bit players. They have walk-on parts, cameos. Moses is not here to receive stone tablets graven with law, and then come thundering down the mountain's flank to confront wayward Israel with God's unbending decree. Moses is here to listen to Christ. Elijah is not here to call down fire from heaven and then order the death of Baal's frenzied prophets. Elijah is here to behold Christ. They witness what later the writer of Hebrews describes. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Moses was a prophet. Elijah, too. Both had much to say. But now the last days are upon us, and when the Son, heir of all things, maker of the universe, speaks, then all who have ears, Moses and Elijah among them, strike one posture only. They listen, and they behold. Peter, James, and John witness the entire spectacle, with borderline comical results. Peter, rash, brash, scared, spitless, offers to build tabernacles for the three holy men. The fisherman aspires to carpenter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?